let's take our Bibles together back to the book of 2 Corinthians. It was my intention tonight to preach and finish this book of the Bible, this last chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I don't think I'm going to get to do that. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to preach one verse. We're going to look at that tonight. It's a great verse in the Bible. And I was reading as I was reading the rest of the verses that are left, I thought, you know, I need to drill down onto that just a little bit. That verse number 8. So I'm in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8 tonight, if you'll look at it with me together. I've tried to live by this principle in my life to this day. And if I can continue my life under this principle, then my life will end up the way it ought to be, and so will yours. And if God would give us some understanding of what this verse means and how far it reaches, we'd be benefited tonight. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, the Bible says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Now, that does not mean that the Apostle Paul is not capable of that. He certainly is capable of doing something against the truth. He does not mean that the Corinthian church cannot do something that's contrary to the truth. Certainly they can, but the guiding principle of his life is that he doesn't want anything to come from his life that is ever against the truth. He always wants to be for the truth. He wants to be behind the truth. He wants to be supportive of the truth. He wants to be on the truth side. He doesn't want to be on the opposite side of the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now, that's a very good statement from the Apostle Paul, because he spent a great portion of his life fighting the truth. Isn't that right? He spent a great portion of his life fighting Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ and the people of Jesus Christ and the church of the Lord. He didn't know he was doing it at the time. He was convinced that he was on God's side, but he was really fighting against God. And the day he realized that he was on the wrong side of the truth, he got saved. What a wonderful change that happened in the Apostle Paul's life. And he said, from this day forward, he had done so much against the truth. He said, from this day forward, I'm going to do nothing that's against the truth. I'm going to be a cheerleader for the truth. I'm going to be behind the truth. I'm going to hold up the truth. I'm going to promote the truth. I'm going to live the truth. I'm going to let truth be benefited because I'm on this planet. And I can do nothing against it but for it. You know, the truth is bigger than all of us. You know, one of these days, every one of us, we're all going to be gone. It'd be good that scares the world to death, you know. The world doesn't meet too many people that are ready to die. The world hasn't met too many people that are not so consumed with themselves that their thoughts are upon eternity instead of life. But we're all going to be gone. But you know what'll be always here? The truth's always going to be here. And what's going to define your life and define my life is, how did my life connect with the truth? Not how successful was I in the eyes of others, not how the accolades I received, or how many people I impressed, or how beautiful I was, or how much money I made, or whatever it was, or my family. What will define all of our lives is, how did your life connect with the truth? Was your life for the truth, or was your life against the truth? That's the way all of our lives will be defined one day. And nothing else will matter. You know, you go If you go out there in the graveyard and you just look at all those gravestones and you see the year and then a dash and then a year, I'll never forget. A gentleman came and preached one time, and I heard him preach. He said, you know, life is just what you do with the dash. I thought, boy, that's profound. Your whole life is just a dash. And the question is your dash, is your life, whatever it is it going to be connected with the truth of God and promoting the truth of God, or is it going to be a life that's been against or fighting it? Now, the first thing we have to ask ourselves before I know how I'm affecting the truth, and this is different too. You know, some people think that their life doesn't affect the truth at all. Now, your life and the way you and I live, the truth is the same, okay? But the way we live our lives and the decisions that we make does affect the truth. Right there in the verse. You can do things that are against the truth, or you can do things that are for the truth. Your life does matter. Your life is going to be summed up if you are aiding the truth or you are holding back the truth. It does matter. You do have a choice. You do have a choice about what your life is going to be for the truth's sake. But before I know how my life affects the truth, wouldn't you say that we need to define what the truth is? What is he talking about? I can do nothing against the truth. Well, what is the truth? Boy, Pilate asked that question, didn't he? What's truth? Well, the Bible tells you. I'll give you four things from the Bible. You know the first one. I probably don't even have to turn there. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth. You know what? I believe that Apostle Paul loved Jesus Christ so much, he said, thought, man, I don't want to do anything against Jesus. I don't want anything in my life to be against Jesus. I'll never forget, I heard one day, I listened, growing up, I listened to all those heroes of the faith that had been in heaven for a long, long time. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. died the year I was born. And I remember him screaming, and in his preaching that I was listening on those cassette tapes, I remember him just screaming at the top of his lungs. He said, if I had one drop of blood that was against Jesus Christ, I would cut my body open and bleed out every drop until I got that one drop of blood out of my system. I thought, man, this man is serious. He didn't want one thing in his life to be against his Savior. He loved him too much. I can see Apostle Paul that way. Because I believe the Apostle Paul remembered all the things, as he said in Acts 26:9, I thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. He had hurt Jesus, hadn't he? When Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, what did he say to him? He said, why persecutest thou? I bet he never forgot that. I bet the rest of Paul's life, as we read in this verse, he says, you know, I don't want to do anything to hurt Jesus again. I don't want to fight against Jesus. And Jesus said that it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Let me tell you something. When you fight against the truth, you can. But you know what? You're always going to be the loser, and it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be hard. That's what we're preaching this morning. You know, if you're saved, you got something in you that wants to do right and doesn't want to do wrong. And you can go the wrong way, but that will never leave you. And God will make sure if you're born again, you will be a miserable person out of the will of God. And if you're not, then you're not saved. You'll be miserable on the inside. And Paul said, I don't want to do anything to hurt Jesus again. I don't want to do anything against him. He loved me. Why would I want to do something against Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, who died on the cross for me, who gave his life for me, who left heaven for me, who loved me more than anybody would ever love me and could ever love me, that knew what I was and knew what I thought and knew what I had done and knew all about me, and he still loved me more than anybody could love me. How could I do something against Jesus Christ? You know, there are saved people that do things against the truth. And it's for one thing, as I said, as I prayed, for lost people to do that. We understand that.
It's one thing for the devil not to be interested in the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. But church people, saved people, why in the world would they do one thing against the lovely Son of God? Why would they hurt? Why would I ever hurt his heart? Why would I do something contrary to his name and to his will? Well, you can do something against the truth in the form of doing it against Jesus. In John chapter 17, the truth is defined in a different way. He says in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Well, the word of God is truth. Now, of course, Jesus Christ, the Bible says his name will be called the Word of God. You can't really separate the incarnate word and the written word. I mean, and I understand there we have a book that's the inspired Word of God. We have Jesus that the Word was made flesh, and we understand the difference there. But I tell you what, you know, the Bible is a whole lot more than just a book on paper and ink. It's a whole lot more than that. You know, the Bible says the Scripture foreseeing. God equates human characteristics even to his Word. The Scripture foreseeing something. The Word of God runs very swiftly. Oh, it's alive, brother. The Bible's alive. Now, here's the question. It's God's truth. This is the truth. Will you ever let yourself do anything against this? How many times do God... Now, we know the world hates the Bible. They hate the Bible. Guys, it doesn't matter what political party. I'd say probably 80% of them, if you got them on the rug and you open up a verse of Scripture, they don't believe this. They don't want this. Nobody does. That's in that world. We accept that. They're not living by this book. The devil hates this book. I understand that. People spit on this book. Emperors have burned this book. I understand that because they don't know God. They're not on the truth side. But you and I, who are saved by the grace of God and we're on Jesus' side, why would we do anything against this truth? You know, the Bible says you're born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, I'll never forget, I heard Les Roloff one time preach a message on the Bible. He read that verse about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. He started talking about the Bible as his mother. And he started preaching that big conference. He said, he was mad. He said, I'm mad. He said, quit monkeying with my mama. That's what he said. He was angry about people attacking the Bible, is what he's saying, and changing the Bible. I was born again by this Bible. Don't attack my Bible. I love it. I cherish it. I'm going to stand for it. I'm going to promote it. I can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Not going to call into question the Bible. I'm not going to change the Bible. Now, how do we do things against the Bible? Will you live by the principle that you'll never do anything against the Bible? You know how safe and blessed your life would be if you would live by that principle? And that your heart would be at any time of your life if somebody would open that Bible, listen now, and show you where your life is contrary to this Bible, you would immediately say, well, I'm going to get back in line because I don't want to do anything against the truth. The truth, there's no relative truth. There's only absolute truth. And that absolute truth is in the Word of God. Truth is not relative to your experiences or your circumstances or your background. The truth is the Word of God. And our lives got to line up with that. I've told you before, man, I've pastored people. I've pastored People, amen, that been saved for all these years. I remember going to that deacon's house. He did something against the Bible, amen. I opened, not here, we got great deacons. They never do anything wrong. Glory to God, amen. No, but I went up to that deacon. I had to open up that Bible. He did something against God. I said, read that right there. You see what that says? You did against that. And he said, I don't care what that says. A deacon at an independent Baptist church. You know what his principle was? He had a different motive for his life than the truth. Guys, the truth doesn't change. It doesn't matter if it's me or if it's you.
Right. Amen.
So, you know what we ought to do? We ought to pledge allegiance to the truth of the Bible and say, I will never do anything against the truth, but for the truth. I'm just going to do what the truth says and how it wants me to live. And if my life doesn't match the truth, I'm going to change my life. Not going to change the Bible. How do we do things against the truth of God's Word? Look at Romans chapter 1. You can do something against the truth of God by changing it. Now today you can find, it's, you know, churches are like Baskin-Robbins ice cream shop. There's as many flavors as you want. Yeah, they're fruity. You're right, Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy helps me preach, amen. I mean, you just find whatever you want. And you can have any lifestyle you want, and you can find a church that'll fit that lifestyle. But you know what you have to do that? You have to change the truth.
Amen.
And yet you either have to rewrite it or get you another version of the Bible that says something different. Look at Romans chapter 1. And of course, this is the great context of sodomite society that we live in. But look how the Bible says in verse 25 is in the midst of all this. Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's doing something against the truth. By the way, you know the funny thing about that verse? You talk about getting caught with your hand in a cookie jar. You know, you'd think that somebody that wanted to correct the Bible or change the Bible wouldn't change the verse that tells you not to change the Bible. Do you know all the new versions change that? And instead of saying, who changed the truth of God into a lie, the new versions say, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. In other words, they had the truth, and then there was the lie, and they say, okay, here's the truth, and they made an exchange. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what God said. They didn't exchange anything. The truth they had in their hand, they changed the truth. They made the truth say something it never said. They lied about what it said. They rewrote it. Don't believe in hell, they'll write it out. Don't believe Jesus, Son of God, they'll write it out. They don't believe that God made a man and a woman, they'll write it out. They don't believe that God intended for men and women only to be together, they'll write it out. Changing the truth. Don't ever change the truth. That's against the truth. Change yourself. Change you. Let the truth change you. And Paul says, you know, I'm not going to do anything against it. Oh, I would. I mean, in my young days, you know, getting out of college and with my degree, you know, I tried to show off some of that education and I threw all that Greek around. I'd be afraid to try to even put a single doubt in anybody's mind about anything in the truth. You know what I found? If I don't understand something in the Bible, you know what I just say? I just say I don't understand it. I'm not going to change it. Because it's right. I'm just going to let it change me. By the way, somebody said, if there were errors in the Bible, you would be too dumb to find one. Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't know them. There's a verse in the Bible about that. Who can understand his errors? You ever read that in the Bible? In other words, if there's something in error about God, none of us would be smart enough to ever find it. Of course, there are no errors with God. There's no errors in his book. Well, why would I want to change it? Why would I fight against it? Or why would I fight against its demand upon my life? How else can you fight the Bible? Look in Romans chapter 2, the very next chapter. Romans 2 and verse number 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. You know how you can do things against the truth? By just not doing what it says. You can change it or you can disobey it. And by disobeying the truth, you're fighting against it. You're harming it. You know, you say, well, how am I harming the truth? The Bible's always going to be the same. Yes, but your testimony is going to hurt somebody else's life that the truth is not good enough for you. You know, every time somebody goes out of a Bible-believing church and lives another way, you know what the testimony is? That life and that Bible's just not good enough. That truth is not good enough. It's not real. Doesn't work. It's an attack against the church. It's an attack against the truth of God. And Paul says, I can't do anything. I'll do nothing against the truth. And then sadly, what others do, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, they turn from the truth. Just don't want to hear it anymore. He said, for the time will come, in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, the time will come, and we're at that time where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And she'll be turned into fables. And every time somebody turns away from the truth of the Bible, they'll always turn to a fable. It may be the fable of evolution. It may be the fable of global warming. I got to get that in again. Amen. It may be the fable you can change your gender. It may be the fable that you're not going to have to stand before God. It may be the fable that God just picks and chooses who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. But ultimately, when anybody turns from the Bible, they turn to a fable. So I don't want that. I'm not interested in that. It'd be good if you would resolve in your heart tonight, I will do nothing against the truth but for the church, but for the truth. I'm going to go the way of God. I'm going to go the way of the truth. I'm going to go the way of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to fight it. You ever seen a kid fight in sleep? It's hilarious, isn't it? Or maybe some adults fight in sleep. I'm looking around here and see. I was sitting by a lady on the airplane yesterday, and I tell you what, man, I mean, you couldn't have bobbed that head anymore if you were just, you know, on a chain. That woman just bobbing back and forth. She's just fighting, going, wake up and fighting. It was hilarious. I thought, this woman's going to hurt herself in just a minute. I mean, her head can only do that. And she just kept on. She's fighting sleep, you know. You know, that's the way some people fight the truth. They think that they can get tough. I'm not going to go to the altar this time. I'm not going to pray about this time. I'm not going to listen this time. I'm going to get by. I'm going to get out of church and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I made it. I'm free again. It's foolish. They come in the next time, or God gives them a witness the next time, and they're just fighting it. Don't want to give in to the truth. Don't fight the truth. Go along with it. Let it take a hold of your heart. Let it change you. The truth is Jesus. The truth is the Bible. Well, what does he say in 1 John chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5. He says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is what?
Truth.
You ever done anything against the truth? You ever done anything against the Spirit of God? You know, that Bible talks about grieving or quenching. You know, we had that short time of prayer this morning before we had the message, and I think God was in that, and I think that was helpful. You know what we do many times in our lives? We do something against the Holy Ghost. And we try to turn the Holy Ghost off, and we won't respond to the Spirit of God, and we grieve the Spirit of God, and we quench the Spirit of God, and we refuse to be led by the Spirit of God. You know what we're doing? We're fighting the truth. That's what we're doing, because the Spirit is truth. Every time that individual says no to the Spirit of God working in their life, all they're doing is fighting a battle against the truth. And the Word of God says we should do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. I mean, the Holy Ghost ought not have to beg us to do anything. We ought to just fall in line. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me and mold me and make me. Melt me, use me. I don't want to resist the Holy Spirit. You know those hyper Calvinists, they say that you can't resist the Spirit of God. I see people resist the Spirit of God all the time. They resisted the Spirit of God when Stephen preached to them full of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God worked in their hearts and pricked their hearts, and they resisted and they gnashed on him with their teeth. What were they doing? They were fighting against the truth. They were fighting against the Spirit of God. It's not just the Bible, man. It's the Spirit that's in you. You know, you don't even have to have a Bible verse. If the Holy Ghost tells you to quit doing something, you need to quit doing it. And if you don't, you're fighting against the truth. I've told you that story about the pastor that I had when I was a little boy, and he quit playing church softball. Said God told him to quit playing softball. Well, there's nothing wrong with playing church softball, except that he got mad when he played church softball. And what was it? It was the Spirit of God told him to quit doing that. Guys, look, if you're saved, I bet the Holy Ghost has told you umpteen times a day something, and you just shut him off. Nice. And put your headphones back in. Or kept watching whatever, kept talking to so-and-so. If you're saved like we preached this morning, you got the Spirit of God in you. What he tries to do, he tries to lead you. He tries to guide you. You ought not do anything against the truth, but for the truth. One other thing. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth. The Spirit of God is the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what?" Do you remember now? Let's go back to Paul when he was fighting against the truth and Jesus came to him. And Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou," say the word, "me?" Wait a minute, Jesus wasn't there. He was in heaven. How was he persecuting Jesus? He was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the body of Jesus. Well, if Jesus is the truth and he's one with the church and the church is his body and the Bible just said right here that the church is the pillar and ground of the church, of the truth, how in the world could I function if I ever did anything against the church? Because the church is his body. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You know what we ought to say every time we make a decision, every time we do something in life, we need to stop and say, okay, how is this going to affect the truth? How is it going to affect Jesus? How is this going to affect the Bible? How is this going to affect the Word of God or the Spirit of God? And how is this going to affect the Church of God? Because I will not do anything against the truth. I'm only going to do something for the truth. You know, after Paul spent all that time trying to fight the church, he spent the rest of his time after he got saved to bring people into the church. He gave his life for the church.
He hazarded his life for the people of God, for the body of Christ. And everything that Paul did, the decision he made, it was all for the edification of the body of Jesus. He wanted to help the church from that day forward. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm going to help it. I'm going to help it. So let's analyze this. Let's make this practical. I remember when my dad had several decisions that he had to make when I was growing up. You know, when you make a decision, you need to say, what's this going to do to the truth? How's this going to affect Jesus? What's it going to do to the church? How is my life affecting the truth, positively or negatively? Most people are living and making decisions, listen, according to how it affects them. In other words, I get a new job because it gives me something better. I move out of town because it helps me and gives me what I want. I swap spouses because I'm tired of this one and I want something to benefit me. Right? That's the philosophy of the world. Do what's best for you. Whatever decision you make, just be so self-centered and make every decision so it'll be a blessing and a help to you. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. You're not the truth. I'm not the truth. We're not the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth. The Holy Ghost is the truth. And the church is the truth. And my decisions need to be based on how does it affect that, not how does this affect me. My dad, I said, had to make some decisions. My brother and I were just getting right there close to the teenage years, and IBM came to him and said, we want to move you to, I don't know, where was it, Mom? Vermont, New York. New York. Can you see me as a little boy getting raised in New York? There's saved people in New York. You have to look a while, but you know, we got good brethren in New York. But brother, we don't have in New York a lot? We don't have a lot of good churches in New York. I mean, people drive a long way to find a church in New York.
Yeah, come on.
And my dad had a decision to make. He was going to be a big promotion. You know what he did? How is this going to affect the truth? How is this going to affect the church? How is it going to affect the Bible in my children's lives? What does Jesus think about this? I see all the Benjamins. I see all the dollar signs. But how does this affect Jesus? And what does the Spirit of God say about this? And you know what? He turned down that promotion. He said, no. You know what was happening in Huntsville at the time? If you go to Huntsville, you know what you'll find in Huntsville? IBM used to be big things in Huntsville. I mean, NASA program, Dad worked and all that stuff. You know what happened to IBM in Huntsville? They closed. They moved everybody out. And Dad said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I got to keep my family in that church.
Amen.
And I'm not going to go up there. I'm going to keep my family in this church. And you know what God did? God brought somebody along, and Monsanto Chemical Corporation gave him a big job in Decatur, and then he didn't even have to drive all the way to Huntsville every day. Made more money, retired. You know, but his decision was based upon how does this affect the truth? Are you listening to me? Not how does it affect me, but how does it affect the truth in my life, in other people's lives? Guys, we were in Romania. Romania, those people, they had nothing. And as soon as we went to the EU, we had a church full of people. We'd baptized them. I saw, man, God changed their life. And when we went into the EU, when Romania went to the European Union, immediately the European Union let Romanians come to Europe, which they never would before. You know what that meant? Money. And so a couple came up to me. They had just been married. They were saved. And he said, we got a job in, I forget where it was, the Netherlands, I think, somewhere. And we'll make a lot of money. I said, where's the place at? He named the town. I said, is there a church there? He said, well, I don't know. His decision had nothing to do with the truth.
Another young man, this guy that we trained to preach, he would preach on the street, good night, till his throat bled. He preached. He was a preacher. He's a little package of dynamite. He's about this tall. He loved Jesus. His daughter came. She's a teenage girl, and man, she was so mixed up, going to kill herself and everything, and so was he. They came to our church. They both got saved. God's starting to put his marriage back together, and he came to me one day, and he said, you know, my wife says that she'll stay with me on one condition. I said, what's that, brother? He said, we got to move to Ireland and get a job. I said, where are you going to in Ireland? He named the town. I said, is the church there? He said, I don't know. I said, you got this teenage girl. She just got saved. You're saved. God's using you. And you're going to make a decision on something that has nothing to do with the truth. Not smart. You know, every decision I've tried to make in my life, I tried to make it, how is it going to affect the truth? Every decision. When we left in Virginia, man, that was hard. We left Virginia. We went overseas as missionaries. You know why I did that? I believed I could do something for the truth, Brother Paul. And they had somebody, my assistant right next to me, that could continue to preach them. And I, in my heart and my mind, I said, I can take the truth to someone else and further the gospel. I want to do this for the truth's sake. You know, when we came back to the States, and my heart was broken when I saw America and the Lord, we came on furlough or whatever, and God spoke to my heart to stay here. You know what that was about? I wanted the truth to grow again back here. Do you know, when my brother called me, and I remembered I was walking. That's when I used to walk. I don't know why I don't do that anymore. I was walking through the neighborhood on the, yeah, I know, I had sidewalks, so I can walk on sidewalks. Walking through my neighborhood on sidewalks. And I got a call, and it was Joel. He said, I hate to bother you. And we had talked and talked. He was moving. He was going to go to Greenville. He said, I hate to bother you, and I would never ask you this, but one of my men, he just kept on and said, would you please just ask your brother if he'd pray? Interested? Oh, he's not interested, Jimmy. And I was walking. He said, I know you're not, but would you pray about it? And I stopped walking. And I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. And he said, you will? I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. You might be shocked about this, but we didn't come back to Alabama because we wanted to live in Alabama. I've already lived in Alabama. That wasn't the reason. There was no thumpity thump thump about Ardmore in my heart. It wasn't. I didn't wake up every morning and say, Lord, would you please let me go to Ardmore? No. Not interested. But you know what I was interested in? I was interested in the truth of what the Holy Ghost wanted. And what I was interested in was the truth of the Bible growing somewhere continually. And what I was interested in was what Jesus, who is the truth, wanted for my life and not what I wanted for my life. Guys, I love you. We've grown to love you. I'm glad I'm here. But the only reason that I came to Sweet Springs was because of the truth. It was about the truth. It was about Jesus and his Spirit and his Word and his church. You know, I don't think any Christian would ever commit adultery on their spouse if they were thinking about the truth. Do you? I don't think any young person would ever lose their testimony if they were considering how this would affect the truth. You know why people backslide that are saved? They don't care about the truth.
You know why people turn their back on God and go up Fool's Hill? Because they're not interested in the truth. They commit sin because they don't care about the truth. And they leave churches and they live their lives totally oblivious to the plan of God because they're not interested in the truth. They could be interested in 100 other things, but the truth is not the motivation of their life. They don't say, how will my decision affect the truth of God?
No one would ever gossip or hurt other people, or be cold in their spiritual life or carnal in their spiritual life if they were concerned about the truth. We wouldn't be cantankerous Christians if we were worried about the testimony of the truth. This book says we should adorn the doctrine of God. We should put clothes on the truth of the Bible. And clothes is representative of Jesus Christ. And show a testimony to the world. And when we don't live that way, we're hurting the truth. Every time we let the devil use us, he uses us against the truth. Every time we yield to the temptation not to pray, we're hurting the truth. Every time we refuse to witness when the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth wants us to witness, we hurt the truth. Every time we refuse to give when Jesus wants us to give, and go when Jesus wants us to go, and love when Jesus wants us to love. Every time we say no to that, we're hurting the truth of God. We're making decisions that are selfish in nature, and they're all about me. They're not about the truth. So I ask you, how does your life connect with the truth? I want to end in 3 John. Would you turn over there? You know, Jesus was willing to die for the truth. He said, you go about to kill me, a man who's told you the truth. We need to be people that are rejoicing in the truth. We ought not do anything against the truth, but we ought to do this. He says in 3 John, in verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You know, you can help the truth. I tell you what, I've seen a lot in 30 years of ministry. I've seen Christians leave the church and leave God and go their own way. And they never thought about it. Brother Gibson and I, we could sit here and talk about people that were touched in their heart in Virginia, and they started giving to missions, and then they backslid on God and left the church and got mad about something, or got mad at somebody, and they left the church. But they never thought, how is this going to affect the truth? You know what they quit doing? They're not giving mission money now out in the world. They're not helping the truth get around the globe. They're not helping the gospel get out all backslid and mad at God and mad at the church and mad at the people of God. They're not helping, but they didn't care about how that affected the truth. They didn't care about how their decision would hurt somebody else and break their heart and cause them to follow their example and leave the things of God and leave the Word of God, and how it would break so-and-so's heart. I tell you what, every Christian, we could tell you so many stories about people that have been such an instrument of the devil in other people's lives and destroyed their confidence in God and destroyed their confidence in the church and destroyed their confidence in the Bible and destroyed their confidence in the promises of God because they saw so-and-so break their heart or break a promise or break God's promises, and it affected their life. And that person that did those things never thought, how is this going to affect the truth in somebody else's life? Can you say, will you say, I want to be a fellow helper to the truth? And the path of my life with God being my helper, I'm not going to do anything, nothing against the truth. Nothing against Jesus. Nothing against the Bible. Nothing against the Spirit of God. Nothing against the church. I want to be a helper to the will of Jesus, and a helper to the path of the Bible around the world, and a helper to what the blessed Spirit of God is trying to do. And I want to be a helper to the church of God, the pillar and the ground of God's truth. Because nothing in my life is going to be contrary. to the truth, because I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the true side. And if need be, listen, I'll stand against myself and stand on the true side. I'll stand against my friends and stand on the true side. I'll stand against my family and stand on the truth side. I'll stand against the world and society and stand on the truth side, because I can't. Oh, they told Martin Luther, recant, recant. And oh, that man said, I know he was a Lutheran, amen, but I feel something in my bones that's akin to him. He looked at those Catholics and he said this. He said, here I stand. I can do no other. Can't do anything else, because I'm going to stand with